All right, I'm going to talk about integrating SharePoint 2010 with Office 2010. And a lot of times when we engage in SharePoint development, we don't often think about integrating tightly with the Office products. And so that's one of the things that I really want to call out today. I want to take you on a little bit of a road trip here, or a little bit of a tour, and think about the different ways that you can integrate the Office clients into your SharePoint solutions. So we'll look at Excel and how we might integrate that. We'll look at InfoPath. We'll look at Access and how Access Services now, the role that Access Services plays in SharePoint 2010. We'll look at, just take a little bit of a look at SharePoint Workspace. We'll look at integrating with Word, PowerPoint, Visio. Of course, you've seen Visio. We'll take a look at Outlook. And of course, so much of this can be done specifically with no-code types of solutions. So we don't necessarily need to drop down into code, but when we do and when we want to power up our solutions, of course, Visual Studio is always there on the side, and we can certainly drop down into code and do just about anything that we want at that point. You've seen this slide earlier today, so there are a number of ways that we can develop on the SharePoint platform, and this is a continuum, and so I'm not going to go into this. We want to look more specifically about Excel and Excel services now. Let's take a look at that. Excel, of course, we know we can author in the rich client. We can author our documents and our workbooks in the rich client, but we can also author in the browser, of course, under Excel service and under Excel web apps. But there's also light editing that can take place out in the web applications. And primarily then, if we want to develop against Excel services, there are web services that are available under Excel. But with Excel 2010 and Excel Services 2010, we now have the new REST API capability. So Excel workbooks under Excel Services now are exposed as REST endpoints. And so we want to take a look at that just a little bit. Because as a developer now, you can go against those REST endpoints. You can retrieve data directly out of Excel Services documents and put those in any type of an application that you would want. We're going to look first at just how that we might be able to bring that Excel documents data directly into a PowerPoint. But before we do that, we'll go ahead and open an Excel document here. And in this case, we have an Excel workbook. And if a company is thinking about maybe relocating into a new area, this is the type of data that would help drive that type of decision-making process. So here we have a workbook. And in this workbook, this is just on the rich client, in this workbook, we have a number of named ranges that we have identified. So we have states. So here's a named range with our states in it. This is just typical Excel types of actions. And then we have a report card located down here. And as data is pulled into this report card, then a chart is going to be created from the data in the report card. Now we have a parameter here that if we change the parameter, in this case we change it to Nevada, we pull the data from the states array up here. We bring that data directly down into our Excel spreadsheet, into our named range here, and we generate the chart based upon that. Now that's all good. This is great. It's a nice workbook, but typically this workbook would then be shared around. We would send it around in email, and everybody would have their own version of this workbook. But if we want to put this up into Excel services under SharePoint, then we simply now are going to go into File, Save and Send. We are going to save this to SharePoint. But we have a number of publishing options that we can do here. In this case, there are different elements or parts of this document that we can actually make visible out under Excel services. Now, this is important because sometimes an accountant might have some sheets that they want to hide or some various parts of this document that they really don't want to have it exposed for people to be able to see under Excel services. They certainly want the whole document to be out there because it might be a financial model or something like that. They want the whole document to be pushed out into SharePoint, SharePoint under Excel services, but they want some parts of that document not visible. In this case, we could make those choices. We aren't going to necessarily choose anything. We'll go ahead and let everything go up to Excel services. So we'll go ahead and cancel out, but I just wanted you to know that those publishing options are available to you. We'll go ahead and close out this document now because we already have uploaded it here under Excel services. But now, as I mentioned, we have the new REST API that makes the different named ranges on this document available as essentially as REST endpoints. So rather than typing that in, we'll just take a quick look here. And here you can see, let me just come up to this part of the screen here. Here we can see the URL, and under underscore VTI underscore bin, we have the Excel REST.aspx endpoint. And so that's where we get access to this document via REST. So in this case, we simply have our state rankings XLS document. And here we can see the different things that have been exposed to the REST endpoint. So here we can go into our ranges. We can see all of our named ranges. We can drill into the report card here. And notice we can't display the report card at this point in time, because what is being returned to us is this Atom document. So here we have an Atom document that's not going to display in our browser. So let's go ahead and just change that to HTML. And now the REST endpoint returns to us the HTML form of that. So very nicely, we can get at this named range in an HTML format, and we can do that essentially via the URL. So you could bring that into any document or any type of application that you would like. But if we click back here, we also have our charts, and our chart was named report. So if we click on that, we can now have the chart pulled out of the Excel document and returned to us here via REST as an image. But what if we don't want the Washington chart? What if we want the Nevada chart, let's say? So in this case, all we need to do is add a parameter to our URL. We'll add our parameter for the range. And in this case, you can see now that, let me just pop up here. We can see we've added the parameter of range. The range is for state, and the state that we want is Nevada. So now as we go ahead and hit the enter on this, we've returned the Nevada image. So now that image is coming back to us simply because we put in those correct parameter in the URL. And in this case, we could change that to any state, and we would have that returned. But we want this image not just to be out here on a web page. We want that image to be accessed. We want to bring that into a PowerPoint slide. So let's go ahead and start PowerPoint. And let me come back here to go ahead and get rid of this. Let's come back to the URL. Copy the URL. Go back to our PowerPoint presentation. We want to insert a picture. In this case, we'll simply put the URL in for that image that we want. And now we'll go ahead and choose to link that, to insert and link it. So we'll insert and link this image. And now we have, from the website, from Excel services, we have that image pulled into our spreadsheet or into our PowerPoint presentation. And now it's simply an image, and we can do anything that we want with that image, just as if we had placed a picture image in here from any other location that we might have had on disk and copied in. So there you have reaching out to Excel services, bringing in an image, a chart from an Excel document that has been saved under Excel services. And so that's very nice. You can do this then programmatically in any way that you would like. In this case, we could insert this image into a Word document, etc. So we'll go ahead and close out on that. Okay, we'll come back to the slides. So Excel and Excel services. With the REST APIs, you can now reach out and pull any part of a named range, any named range out of a document under Excel services and pull the data into whatever context you would like. InfoPath. InfoPath is a rich forms designer for the different types of forms that you would want to use in SharePoint. And of course, InfoPath forms are everywhere in SharePoint, under SharePoint 2010. And so there are a number of scenarios that this enables. You might have an information worker that simply wants to customize a list, simply might want to take lists offline into SharePoint Workspace and would like those lists to be customized for that experience. Maybe they want to wire up some data sources that are external to SharePoint and use those external data sources as the sources for lists, etc., on the InfoPath form. But then you might have an office business application individual that's building out specialized types of things in the SharePoint environment. So they're going to a different level. They're working with SharePoint Designer. They're doing some declarative types of workflows that they're building, and they want to, of course, do some customizations on the workflow InfoPath form, so they can certainly do that. Maybe they're building out a BCS connection to a business connectivity services connection to a line of business system, and so they're building a special InfoPath form around that. Those types of scenarios are supported in InfoPath. And so from an InfoPath perspective, it's very easy to open an InfoPath document and edit the form that's associated with any list in SharePoint. So every list in SharePoint has a default form that's generated and accessible to you as a developer or as an information worker if you have the right permissions on that site. So you simply go into the List tab on the SharePoint ribbon, and the InfoPath, customize the InfoPath form button is there. A single click on that will open up the default form that is associated with that SharePoint list. So once you are in that environment, InfoPath opens up and you're in that environment, then you have a very nice, rich forms designer experience. In some cases, it's much like working with Word tables. You have a cell and table type of arrangement with rows and columns, and then you can drag and drop controls onto the form and in the different cells, and you can bind those controls, of course, to different types of data. Maybe you have a drop-down list, and natively within InfoPath, you can very, very easily be able to connect up to any SharePoint list to source a drop-down list, let's say. Or you can connect up to any WCF or Azimex service that might be available to you on the internet. Any old data feed that's available to you, you can use that to also source your controls and bind those to the different objects that you have on the InfoPath form. So it makes it very, very easy. You can also do rules behind the different elements that you add to a form. You can drop down into custom code, and you can code either Visual Basic or C#, and using Visual Studio tools for applications, that code will also run in a sandbox type of environment, as Chris has just talked about. It's simple to do table types of layouts in the InfoPath forms, as well as you can apply any type of theme. Just like you would in a Word document, you would apply a theme. to any document or to a PowerPoint presentation. The theming is very simple and easy to do as well inside of InfoPath. Once you have developed that form in InfoPath, as well as with any list that's available to that you have in SharePoint, those lists can be taken offline into SharePoint Workspace. So SharePoint Workspace is essentially the offline cache of your SharePoint sites. So you can bring those down onto your client machine. And so if you need to travel or be in a disconnected state with your laptop or your machine, you can go ahead and have all of that content from the list available to you in SharePoint Workspace. You can edit documents, etc., save those documents back, and once you are back online again, the synchronization will automatically take place for you. So that's SharePoint Workspace. But the beauty of being able to create and use InfoPath as your Forms Designer tool for SharePoint 2010 is that the forms that you design for your server-side SharePoint site under Form Services, those exact same forms then are the ones that are going to be available to you down in SharePoint Workspace. So there you get reuse and productivity gains because you're truly designing your form once and it's being used both on the server as well as on the client. So you have the same experience for your users. So the bottom line for InfoPath Solutions is it's the default form for all the lists, for all the workflows on the SharePoint site, and you can modify those any way that you want with a single click out of SharePoint into the InfoPath Forms Designer, and then it's a simple click back to publish that on the InfoPath Designer. It's a simple click to have that published back directly to your SharePoint site. Now, Access and Access Services. For Access 2010, probably one of the most significant features that Access 2010 has is the ability for you to create web databases. Now, of course, Access has been a wonderful tool for many, many years to develop client-side databases. But sharing those databases and giving multiple people access to those databases has always been somewhat problematic. But now we have, with Access 2010 and Access Services under SharePoint 2010, we have the ability to build these web databases that can be published. Once they're built in the Access client, they can be published directly under SharePoint service, under SharePoint with Access Services. And now that database essentially becomes a complete website, a complete site under SharePoint, and it can be accessed by any and be managed by the normal SharePoint permissions processes. So we're going to take a look at that in just a minute. We saw a little bit of that earlier today, but we didn't see it quite to the level that we're going to show it. Now, the nice thing about this is that these Access databases, web databases, are not just able to be published on premises, but they also can be published directly out to the cloud in Office 365. So as Chris was talking about, this is one of the services under Office 365 that will be available. So those Access databases that may have been, you know, or the types of databases you would like to write that normally would not be able to be accessed easily now can certainly be shared and have many given the right and the permission to be able to collaborate around and using. So what are the differences then between a client database and a web database? Certainly, with Access 2010, you can still build that rich type of client database that you would like. That's not an issue. But now we also have, again, this capability for the web databases. And there are some design considerations if you truly want this database that you're building to be one that is going to run under Access Services. If that's the case, then you need to use what we call the web-ready objects, because those objects are going to certainly be able to convert directly from a client into a server side object. So the top menu bar or top ribbon that you see is the create tab for if you're going to be building just Access client databases, client side databases. The second ribbon is what you see if you choose to build a web database. Okay, so we see that there are some, it's a little bit smaller, somewhat reduced, because we want to have objects, use objects in a web database that we know are going to convert directly out into SharePoint Access services. The objects that will convert are the objects that are notated on the ribbon with the globe icons. So you can see the globe icons there for query and for a form and for multiple item types of forms. So we have the various objects that will convert directly to SharePoint objects noted with the globe icons. So what does that mean? So if we choose to build a web database, an Access web database, then that ACCDB file, essentially, when we publish out to Access services, it becomes a SharePoint site. And this is just a standard SharePoint site. There's no magic here. Access tables all become SharePoint lists. Access forms become ASPX pages. Access reports are essentially SQL Server type of reports. And UI macros become JavaScript, and data macros become SharePoint workflows. So when you use the web-ready objects, when you use those, then those are going to convert directly straight across to these SharePoint-type objects. And again, whether you are publishing out to SharePoint on-premises or SharePoint online, you're going to get that same nice result. So let's go ahead and take a look at how we can do this. Pardon? Are these SOAP protocol? No, they are just standard SharePoint objects that we're going to create. So in this case, we'll go ahead and open Access. And now there are a number of templates that are available here. You can go out to office.com, certainly, and get many different types of templates. In this case, I'm just going to choose sample templates. And here we have a contacts web database. Now, if the template says web database after it, then that is a template that should convert 100% directly into be able to be published directly to Access services. So we'll have a contacts web database. Notice there's an assets web database here, charitable contributions, issues, marketing. So there are a number of these web databases that are already available to you. And again, on office.com, there are more. Now, from a quick start getting up and running on a web database very quickly, I would really recommend starting from a template. There's much that you don't have to build then. You already have this nice foundation, and then you can simply add whatever you would like around it, add your own customizations, and you can see we can't go into that deeply, but we'll go ahead and choose the contacts web database, and in this case, we'll go ahead and we'll call it contacts Firestarter. We'll go ahead and create this. So from the template, we're creating a new database, contacts database, and you can see that we have a number of features already that are enabled. We have a main form, main navigation form. We have a number of tabs already pre-built on this form to be able to add individuals to our contacts. We have a data sheet view. We have a report center where we have a number of reports that have already been pre-built. And then there's a video for getting started if you would like. Now, that's pretty easy. Let's go ahead and take a look. These are, from this template, these are already the Access objects that have been developed for us. And notice there's a number of forms that are already available. In this case, I can simply save my database. But I'm going to now go into the file menu here, which is the backstage view, and I want to push this out to the SharePoint site. So I'm going to go ahead and go save and publish, and I will publish to Access Services. And now you can see I have a button here which says Run Compatibility Checker. This is the way you can automatically have access, check to see if all of the objects that you have used within your database are truly web-ready objects. And so it will do an analysis of the different objects that you have in your database, and it will let you know that which ones cannot completely be translated and be pushed out to Access Services. You can manage that then from a developer perspective. In this case, we'll go ahead and publish it out to our demo site. We'll call this Contacts Firestarter. And publish to Access Services. This takes just a minute, connects up to the SharePoint site, and it will now access now starts its translation and begins to migrate this database and connect it up to Access Services. Pretty quick process. So here we're synchronizing database properties. Again, tables are being converted to lists and forms are being converted to ASPX pages. So publish has succeeded. So now we simply click the URL to go to the site. And we might get there too quick before SharePoint is completely done, but we'll see. Preparing the site. We'll wait a minute. So here we go. So exactly what we have here. Let me just let my VM catch up. Exactly what we've seen in the Access client as far as what we had developed. We'll go ahead and go out here. I can now have out here directly in my under Access Services. So now I'm accessing this database that's on the site and has just been generated for me. Very nice, very simple. Getting started video. Here I want to add a new contact, so I'll go ahead and add. I'll just add myself. I don't think I need any more data here. We'll see. Back to the address book. Okay, so here I have a new contact. I have my data sheet. I have my report center. So if I come back to my access, go ahead and close this, open my main form. Okay, we can see that access now is refreshed. So even though I have the rich client here, it is now accessing the data that is being stored out on my SharePoint site. You can see down here in the lower window, in the lower corner, that this database is online with SharePoint. And so anytime I open this Access Database client, it's going to let me know that I am online with SharePoint. So this database has been published out under Access Services. Okay, so if I make changes here, let's say I add a person here. We'll go ahead and add Sally. Whoops. We'll add Sally Jones, save and close. So we have Sally Jones here. If we come out to our Access database and refresh our Access Services, we now have Sally Jones out here. So we have this nice ability to now push our Access databases out where they can be shared by anyone. Now, why would I? What is my purpose for this Access database now? Really, it becomes just my tool for changes to the structure of the site. I don't need to use this Access database on my client. Everybody can now use the SharePoint site. So suppose in this case I want to add, I'll go into layout view here, and I have another form here called contacts list, and I want my contacts list form, let me just open it up here. My contacts list form is just a list view of all of my contacts. It's already been created for me. It was already a part of the template, but it wasn't on my main page here. So I'm going to go ahead and close that out. I want to add that as a tab up here. So I'm simply going to take that form, drag it onto my tabs, and I have my contact list. I'll separate that so it says contact list. And save this, file, synchronize. It's synchronized with Access Services, refresh. And now I've just changed the structure of my site. Just that easy, and now I have my contacts list available to everybody. So Access and Access Services, you know, it might not be your bag, but from a potential for departments to be able to get up sites that can track certain things like Access has been used for years it's a way to now make those sites very nicely available to many, many users. Regarding SQL injection, can you...
You have to run this one in firewall behind because you are seeing the entire URL.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, we'd have to... Let's take our questions offline afterwards because we're running a little short on time. Great, okay. Okay, so that's an Access solution. We'll go through the review on that. Visio 2010 and SharePoint Designer 2010. Chris gave a good demo, which really covers us the bulk of what I was going to talk about with respect to creating a Visio diagram, a Visio workflow, and then exporting that so it could be imported into SharePoint Designer. So there's not a lot of value that I can add to what Chris specifically said on that. But what's nice, first of all, is that this is an iterative process, and there's a nice potential here for a division of labor, okay? So you might have a business designer or a business analyst that knows their business process, so they can use Visio to truly design this workflow. They don't need to understand all of the SharePoint nuances. They just simply need to recognize the right shapes that are associated with the SharePoint Designer actions. So from the left-hand navigation, we have all of the shapes in Visio, and those shapes do map almost 100% to SharePoint Designer actions. And so that's the learning tool or the learning curve that a business analyst would need to simply go through is understand what actions are going to map in correctly into SharePoint Designer. But a business analyst could truly do the workflow part of this, and then you could have someone from IT or a power user that is adept with SharePoint Designer then pick up that exported file out of Visio and then add the logic that's necessary within SharePoint Designer, as you saw Chris do. So that is an iterative process. So the SharePoint Designer, once that work has been done, that can be pushed back into Visio. Visio, the individual, can then add more to it, and then that can come back into SharePoint Designer. Now, that's all goodness in itself, but as we saw as part of the continuum, the SharePoint Designer end result can then also be output and imported into Visual Studio. Once, and this is the only caveat that I wanted to mention on this, once that SharePoint Designer gets exported into Visual Studio, and now that becomes a Visual Studio WSP, we lose the connectivity then, or the iterative process back into Visio. So that's just one thing to keep in mind there. But as long as you have Visio and SharePoint Designer working together, then you have that iterative process between those two. We'll just go ahead and move past that demo. All right. We've heard a little bit about business connectivity services today. And so business connectivity services gives us that way to bring external line of business data directly into SharePoint. It's both online and offline aware, as well as it's both read-write, where in MOS 2007, it was read-only. We have read-write capabilities with SharePoint 2010. And there's no code support in SharePoint Workspace and Outlook. So once we create the external content type that connects up to our external data source, we can then and create an external list off of that external content type. We can now take that data directly offline into SharePoint Workspace. And again, we have that online-offline awareness that's available there in SharePoint Workspace, as well as we can take that data directly offline into Outlook. And so we can see that. We'll take a look at that in a second. And then that's no code tooling as far as SharePoint Designer is concerned. Now, when we want to bring line of business data into SharePoint 2010, we can do that either directly connecting our external content type directly to a SharePoint or to a database, or connecting to a web service, whether that's Azimex type of web service, whether it's a WCF service, or directly to an assembly that we have created out of Visual Studio using the BDC model. Once we have created the external content type that maps to that external data source, then we can have a number of user experiences that we can light up within SharePoint. We can light up SharePoint external lists. We can light up SharePoint Workspace. We can light up Outlook. And we can bring that data then directly into the clients of Word, Excel, et cetera. So we'll go ahead and take a look at that. Okay, we'll come into the SharePoint site again. And what I want to do, first of all, is show you that we have an external list here called Customers. And this is an external list that's connected to a CRM database. Okay, so we're bringing in customers directly out of a SQL source. So to set that up, we'll go into SharePoint Designer. Sorry. We'll go into SharePoint Designer. And in SharePoint Designer, we can create external content types by simply clicking on the external content type to create a new one. In this case, we'll create a new external content type. We'll call it Firestarter. And when we link to or connect to an external line of business system, we have an option here to identify an office item type that we would like to be able to easily and nicely map that to. So in this case, if we have customer data, name and address type of information, we would like to be able to map that into an office item type of contact, because then we can take this data directly offline and into Outlook, and it can become an Outlook contact object. So we'll go ahead and set that initially here. And in this case, we'll choose an external system. Now, to add a connection, we have the option, again, to do the three different types of connections to that external line of business data. We can connect with a .NET type, which is a BDC model type of assembly that comes out of Visual Studio, SQL Server, WCF. Here in this case, we already have some connections, so I'll go ahead and drop down customer here. And it's very simple, very wizard driven. In this case, we have the option to create read list, read item, read list, create, update, delete. We can create all the options directly off of a SQL table. Click next. And then now it's just a matter of following the wizard and doing the mapping that we want and choosing the exact fields or columns out of the database that we want to be able to expose in our external list. We'll go ahead and cancel out of that because I already have one. So in this case, we'll go to customers from CRM. So this is my external content type that I've already developed going against that SQL Server database. Here, these are the two methods that I already have chosen. I have a read item and a read list. I didn't choose the right capabilities. And then over here, I simply identified which fields do I want to come out of the database and have shown in my external list. So once I have the external content type built, I can simply create a list and form from that. But in this case, I already have created that. So that's what we are seeing here with our customers list in SharePoint. Now, once we have the list, the external list exposed, we can go to our list tab, and on the ribbon, we have a single click to be able to connect that list directly down into Outlook or to connect that list directly to our SharePoint workspace. And because that takes a minute for it to sync to save time, here's my SharePoint workspace list. So now that list has been taken offline. This is my external list that has been taken offline in SharePoint Workspace. Notice I have an InfoPath form already created for that by default. That could be fully customized through InfoPath. But this is also certainly online and offline aware. So if I make changes here and I get back online, a synchronization event will take place and it will help me make decisions if there are any type of collisions between data that has already been changed from what I'm trying to change. So that's SharePoint Workspace. But also then, this data can be synchronized with a single click down into Outlook. So now, because I had identified a contact office type of contact, this data can come directly into my Outlook as contacts. Now, this has nothing to do with Exchange. This is an external list, but these items from my database are being exposed as contacts in Outlook, and now I can email, do whatever I want with these very nicely and easily. And again, if I had read-write capabilities enabled, I would simply right-click on these, make a change, save it, and it would synchronize back as well, right from Outlook. Okay, but now the data has become available to me, what can I do with that? So Chris has already talked about the SharePoint client object model and what that allows us to do. What I want to do is use that SharePoint client object model and build a Word add-in with it. I'll show you how we can do that, as well as every list within SharePoint is also available as essentially as a REST endpoint. So in this case, what I have over here, I have two other lists. I have a course category list and I have a course, and I've set up a relationship between courses and categories. So every course is associated with specifically one category. So I have courses and categories, and those lists can also be accessed then specifically by a REST endpoint. So I can go ahead now and I can look at, let me just do this first. Using the VTI bin list data service, that's my REST endpoint for all of my lists in SharePoint. So you can see down here that I have my courses list and my course category list. These are all the lists, by hitting the model on this, these are all the lists for this site. Okay? Now, I'm going to close this here. Need to make one change before I close it. Internet options. We'll go to content, settings. Okay. So now I can actually hit specific courses, and you can see here's the just by hitting list data service course, I can get all the courses back. I can get one single course back. Say I want course 5, I can get by simply putting in that I want the fifth row, I can get the fifth element here. But I also can do I also can expand my course so that not only in a single data feedback, I can get not only the course information, but I can also get the category that's associated with every course. Now, that's just to show you that this data is available to me. Now, what I want to do is be able to access the external list with an add-in in Word. So I can build an add-in in Word. In this case, I built a quote add-in where I want to be able to add the information from the customer list. I want that information to be available in a task pane for my user, so when they click on the customer that I'm pulling from through my external content type out to my line of business, I want them to be able to click on a customer and load that information into my document so they don't have to type anything. I'm using content controls in Word to be able to do that. And so let's go ahead and run this. So this is using the client object model to go against that external list to pull the data, to pull the customers back into my Word application, display those to the users so they can simply click on the user information, on the customer information, and have it load into the document. So in this case, while the add-in is loading up, it's actually going to go out and hit the external list, so when the document loads, the data has already been loaded into the custom task pane in Word. Many times your users will have customer information that they've saved off maybe in other databases, or they're copying and pasting it from somewhere. Are they using the authoritative list, the authoritative information? Well, in this case, now we are bringing the authoritative information directly into the document design experience and making it available to the customer. So now we have customers that are coming from the external list, and we can insert those customers directly into our content controls. And so this is bringing SharePoint data, external list data in this case, directly in using the client object model. So we'll go ahead and close this out. I have one more demo. I'll wrap this up. So I've talked about the fact that SharePoint lists are also exposed as REST endpoints. So what I want to do now with the next demo is simply show the course and the category information being brought into, again, a Word application in a custom task pane. So in this case, I am simply going to reach out to, the first thing I would do in this environment is add a new service. Click Next. And again, I point to the same REST endpoint for list data service. Click Go. And in this case, it builds for me, of course, the nice data model for me directly from all my lists. Here's my course and my course category. We'll go ahead and cancel out of this. So we'll go ahead and run this. I have sample code for this, but my time is short, And so I want to go ahead and move on. But all this code I can certainly make available to you as a part of the resources. But here in this case, so now what I've done is I've loaded the categories up here into this drop-down list. And as categories are loaded, I use a link query to load my list box down here with the various courses. I can then insert that course information directly into my Word document. So you can think about this in terms of information that is being possibly managed by just a few people, but needs to be made available to many different people. And it always needs to be used appropriately. Now, I can make this document look really bad quickly, but the point is I'm bringing information directly from SharePoint that is being managed with certain set of permissions. I'm bringing that into my Word application, making that available to the user so they can simply click on the content and be able to load up their documents. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up. These are in the slide deck. These were just the various architecture overviews of the way we're accessing the data in those two different samples. So that's it. The last part of it is I just simply want to say, you know, when you're thinking about building your SharePoint 2010 types of solutions, you know, there are many ways to bring in the Office client applications relatively easy that give great gains in terms of productivity. And then, of course, you can always go ahead and beef up those types of development opportunities that you're bringing to your users. You can beef those up by dropping down into Visual Studio at any point and augmenting that solution. So with that, I'm over time, and I can go ahead and take some questions online. I'll be answering questions online, or I can go ahead and get back to you on the questions you might have.